Welcome to Through the Corporate Glass, a podcast that explores career choices. Welcome to another episode of Through the Corporate Glass. I'm your host, Ashwini. There's been a lot of hype around data engineering. So what exactly is data engineering? How does it differ from software engineering? What skills do you need to become a data engineer? And what are the opportunities and challenges in this area? To answer this and share her insights, we are joined by Harini Rajendran. Harini works in the area of data engineering at Confluent, building a cloud-scale observability data platform. She's one of the leads of the San Francisco chapter of Women Who Code. She's passionate about advocating for diversity, equity, and inclusion, and she's also very active in advocating for animal welfare. Welcome to our podcast, Harini, and thank you so much for making time for us.
Hey, Ashwini, thank you for having me here. I'm excited to do this with you.
Awesome. So we'll start with what exactly is data engineering. We know it broadly entails building data infrastructure, but could you give us an example and walk us through what it means?
Sure. Yeah. At a high level, data engineers focus on building and maintaining big data pipelines that primarily moves data around. So I would say we focus on designing and architecting these pipelines, figuring out what data to collect, where to collect the data from, how to process the data, and how to expose the data in such a way that it's easy for different stakeholders to consume. So these are some of the aspects of data engineering.
Sorry to interrupt you. You mentioned big data, right? So is that kind of beyond a certain scale, we consider data to be big data?
I'd say it's subjective, but in my mind, if you're processing like millions of events per second or multiple hundreds of gigabytes of data per day or even like terabytes of data per day, I would categorize those as big data. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's something that can't be stored in one machine, I would say it's big data.
Yeah, that's a fair description. And could you give us an example maybe from your own experience in terms of how this pipeline building would look like?
Sure. I can actually talk about what my team does at Confluent. So I'm a part of our observability team. So if you have heard about Confluent and if you know what we do, we provide Kafka as a service in the cloud. In addition to Kafka, we also provide a lot of other services in the cloud. So whenever any company provides anything as a service in the cloud, you could imagine that they would be running like thousands of instances of that service in the cloud. So when we run and manage thousands of Kafka clusters, the observability aspect of it is really important. As a part of the observability team, my team's focus is to actually instrument all of our Kafka clusters to emit metrics periodically. My team's responsible for building the whole big data pipeline, which collects, processes, and transforms and stores those metrics. And my team's also responsible for exposing those metrics in an easily consumable fashion. Like people can just run some REST APIs and fetch those metrics for their use cases. So yeah, these are the different aspects of the data pipeline that my team focuses on.
Observability is the heart of development in some sense, right? Especially as you pointed out in distributed systems. So just taking a step back, Harini, how did you get interested in this field?
It happened by chance. When I joined Nutanix after grad school back in 2014, I was put on the team which was responsible for building their telemetry platform. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got started in data engineering. But then very soon, I fell in love with it and just decided to stick to data engineering roles when I wanted to switch to a different company back in 2020. So I've been doing this for about 8 years now, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Awesome. Just to try and make a distinction, right? Because data engineering is kind of called out as a separate field compared to the broader software engineering paradigm. How do you think the two differ?
Sure. To answer this question, I want to dive a little deeper into what a data engineer does, because talking a little more about it would help understand the difference between data engineering and software engineering. As I mentioned earlier, data engineers' primary responsibility is to democratize the data within the company. They spend a majority of their time thinking about data, working with raw data. They think about how to collect the data from, manage, convert the raw data into usable format so that both tech and non-tech stakeholders would have access to them and can make informed decisions. In addition to all of this, data engineers also think about data modeling. What's the best way to store the data? What's the most efficient way to retrieve the data at a faster pace? They also think about data lifecycle management. How long should this data be stored? How long should this data be sitting in the hot storage? When should we move it to cold storage, et cetera? Data engineers also think about the security aspects, the data governance, like who should have access to this particular data, because some data could be very critical and very sensitive, and not everyone in the company should have access to it. So data governance is one important aspect as well. And also, data engineers continuously collaborate with different stakeholders like business analysts, data scientists, other software engineers within the company, and executives, et cetera, to solve their needs with the data. So yeah, as you can see, a normal software engineer doesn't do most of these things. They are primarily involved in building some sort of an application or a software, and they don't focus much about data. So yeah, that's the main difference. Data engineer just thinks and works with data a lot and builds applications that works on the data, whereas that's not the primary focus for a generic software engineer.
That's very interesting. So the consumers of the data could actually be these applications, but you cut away the whole, as you mentioned, the life cycle of that data, and you do the transformation to make it easy for the applications to consume it, right? So you're kind of removing the problem or the headache of worrying about the data from the software developer in some sense.
Right. And actually, software developers are one of our stakeholders. For example, let's say there is a software engineer who is working on a specific feature, and using the data that we, the data engineers, provide, they could actually see, okay, if the feature that they rolled out in the last release is working as expected or not. So, yeah, software engineers could definitely make use of the data to make informed decisions that is provided by the data engineers.
You did mention a couple of times that this is about building the entire data pipeline, right? Now, given the maturity of the field, I guess it's pretty rare that somebody builds the entire pipeline or specifically all the pieces of the pipeline from scratch. So, are there any probably fundamentals or popular technologies that somebody must understand to at least utilize those building blocks to be able to contribute to the field of data engineering?
Sure. Talking about some of the popular technologies, I would say like there are at a high level two different kinds of data pipelines if you think about it. So I would categorize them into batch data pipelines and streaming data pipelines, which are also called as real-time or near real-time data pipelines. Some of the most famous technologies in the batch world would be like Hadoop distributed file system and Hadoop MapReduce, etc. People also have used distributed file system plus Apache Spark combination. Yeah, these are some of the batch big data technologies that I have personally used in the past. When it comes to real-time data pipelines, I would say some of the famous ones are Apache Kafka, Apache Spark. It can be used both in the real-time as well as in the batch world. And Apache Flink, etc. And also, like almost all of the data pipelines, be it a real-time pipeline or a batch pipeline, would at least have one of these NoSQL databases in them to be used as a data store. So, some of the famous NoSQL databases that I could think of are Cassandra, Elasticsearch, DynamoDB, etc. The one that I'm using right now in our project at Confluent, it's called Apache Drover. That's also an open source time series database. If you think about it, there are like so many of these famous technologies, and it might be overwhelming if you want to learn about all of them in depth. So if someone is interested in getting into a data engineer role, I would highly recommend them to do some, basic data engineering 101 courses, and then just pick one or two of these technologies and then learn more about it. You cannot possibly develop an expertise in all of these. It's too
Fair
much.
enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. Could you actually describe how your typical day looks like as a data engineer? And what I mean by this is just trying to understand at a very practical level, what does this involve for someone who becomes a data engineer? Right. And of course, we'll caveat it. You're not somebody who is fresh into the field. You've already, as you mentioned, have 8 years of experience. So I guess in the context of your experience level.
Sure. What a data engineer typically does in a day depends on a lot of factors. I would say it depends on the stage and the maturity of the project that they are working on. Let's say if you are working on a relatively new project where your team is responsible for building everything from the ground up, and it's a small team working on a small project, then you would be focusing on a lot of different things. For example, let's say if you are at the requirements phase, you would be interacting with your stakeholders, understanding their needs, finding the data of interest, the source of the data, what is it that they are interested in, what the end result should look like, what is the format of the data that they are interested in, where to store the data, and all of those things. So those are the things that we take care as a part of, requirements gathering. So once you know what is it that you are interested in, then you go back to the drawing board and think about the design aspect of it. Okay, what are the different technologies you use? Is it going to be a real-time data pipeline or a batch data pipeline? What sort of data store is required? And just putting all the building blocks together. And then you would also be spending some time. Okay, now you have built your team has built this whole big data pipeline, designed and built it. Now you need to understand if the pipeline is working as expected. So the next step would be setting up some monitoring and alerting on top of the pipeline that you have just built. So that's also something a data engineer does. And a data engineer has to have a strong DevOps mindset, because it's not just about building a big data pipeline, but it's also about maintaining the pipeline and making sure it's working as expected and it's up and running all the time. I'd be surprised to know that I spend roughly about 50% of my time just making sure the pipeline is up and running and it's healthy. So having the DevOps mindset really helps. And also evangelizing. Other people in the company would start making use of the data only if they know that data exists in the first place. And also, if someone goes and talks to them about the value that the data could bring to them, they would start using it. So data engineers also spend a lot of time finding new use cases, going and talking to different people within the company and evangelizing the data.
Thanks for breaking it down that way. I think that brings a lot of clarity. And yes, it is surprising that you mentioned 50% of the time is spent on the operational aspects as well. I had a quick question about the requirements phase that you mentioned. I think this ties in well with the point that you made about evangelizing as well. Often the consumer of the data may not really have clarity around the data formats and things like that. Essentially, like as you mentioned, the data engineer is probably the person who has maximum knowledge in that area. So, how does the requirements gathering actually work? Is this more about the data engineer giving options of potential formats or examples, and then the consumer collaborates on that, or how do you go about it?
Sure. In most companies, like if the company is a little mature, there would already be like an established way of publishing the data in certain formats. So if I'm interacting with the new stakeholder who's interested in publishing data, it's more about educating them about the process. For example, let's say someone is interested in publishing a new metric, I would go and talk to them and say, hey, you can interact with the telemetry platform in this way, and this is the library that you should be using to publish a new metric. There are certain standards in which you can publish your metric. Like, for example, we use this OpenTelemetry standard. So it's about educating them about OpenTelemetry and, telling them, yeah, if you publish metrics in OpenTelemetry to this particular endpoint, then it would land in this particular place. And you could go into our sandbox environment and play around with it and see if the data is consumable and in a format that you want. It's a lot of back and forth. So it's about educating them on the format, how to interact with our systems, what are the abstractions that we have, what are the different endpoints we expose, both from a publishing standpoint and also from a consumption standpoint. So yeah, I would say it's a lot about educating them and getting them onboarded onto the platform, in addition to helping them figure out like what exactly is the data that they are interested in. Because sometimes they know the use case, but they don't know like if we have the data or if we don't have it, is it something new that they have to publish? So just figuring all those things out.
Awesome. This sounds pretty involved in the sense that it isn't about getting a list of requirements and then just going off and doing your development. It's a lot of collaborative thinking, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. It's a lot of back and forth between the data engineers and the stakeholders. That's why like communication is one of the big aspect of a data engineer's role. Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah, sorry, I know I interrupted you. You spoke about the scenario in a startup or a smaller organization, and you were going to talk to us about the how it would look in a mature project, which is much bigger, right?
Yeah, if it's a smaller team doing like building a project from the scratch, then obviously they would be doing a lot of different things to get it up and running. But then if you are working on a bigger company on a mature project, there might be tens, if not hundreds of people working on one pipeline. For example, in my project, we have three different teams working on different parts of our telemetry pipeline. And the team that I'm working on is solely responsible for the data store that we use. That's it. If you look at the whole pipeline, there are multiple services, and the data store is just one of the components. But we are a team of seven people focusing on that. Because the scale of deployment of that particular data store is so huge that we need so many people to just keep it up and running and in it. So what my team does on a day-to-day is how to scale this data store efficiently, because as you can imagine, the amount of data that's getting generated by all the systems within Confluent is only increasing every day. So we also need to scale our data store efficiently. We focus on improving the monitoring and alerting that we have set up on this data store. We constantly focus on cost optimization so that we keep the cost in check as the deployments grow bigger and bigger. Some of these deployments are super complicated, so we also spend a lot of time thinking about automation of these deployments, just one-click deployments, things like that, so that we could roll these deployments out at a much faster rate and there's no manual steps involved in it. We also think about things like disaster recovery. What if one region in AWS goes down? How would we get the data back? Depending on how big and mature the project is, your team could just be focusing on one service that's there in the whole big data pipeline or the whole data pipeline as such. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah. Now, given the many areas that you mentioned, and again, totally understand that it depends on the size of the company and the amount of responsibility you have, but what skills do you think would kind of form the base to be successful in a role in data engineering?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you think about it, almost all of these big data technologies that we spoke about are all distributed systems. So having a strong foundation in distributed systems is one of the core skills that's needed to be successful in a data engineer role. And then just having a high level knowledge of the various technologies, the various sort of SQL, NoSQL databases that exist out there would be really helpful. Doing some sort of small projects and having some hands-on experience in some of these latest streaming technologies like Kafka, Spark, etc. Like that could be useful. As I also mentioned earlier, having a strong DevOps mindset was useful because you spend a lot of time doing that. And nowadays, no one, like I wouldn't say no one, but most companies don't maintain their own infrastructure. They just use one of the cloud providers like AWS, GCP, and Azure, etc.
Right.
So just getting yourself familiarized with these different cloud platforms and just doing some small hands-on in one of these cloud platforms like AWS, you should be comfortable in how to spin up instances, how to spin up a load balancer, how to bring up Kafka in AWS and things like that. So familiarizing yourself with at least one of the cloud providers is something that would be useful as well. So these are some of the tech side of skill sets that you would need. Speaking of the non-tech side of things, as I mentioned earlier, you would be communicating and interacting with a lot of different stakeholders. Having good communication skills is also really important to be successful in this world.
Awesome. That's a very comprehensive list. So thanks for that, Arni. We always like to ask about the challenges in any area. And the idea basically is that people can listen to the challenges and then make up their mind if you still want to go ahead and, deep dive into this field. So what do you think would be the biggest challenges in this area?
I'd say like keeping up to date with all the new things and technologies that's happening in this field. Like every day there's a new software that's coming out, a new big data technology that's coming out. So keeping your toolbox up to date is one of the big challenges. I tend to spend some time reading some of the technology blogs, and that's one way I keep myself updated. And also another big challenge is choosing the right technology to solve the problem in hand.
Right.
Because in one of my projects in the past, we picked a wrong data store that's not meant for the use case that we're trying to solve. And then we struggled so much to scale it beyond a certain point, and we had to sort of scrape it and switch to a different data store completely. So you have all of these options, but then you should know which technology or which database or which service to use to solve the problem that you have in hand. So that's one of the biggest challenges. And on a day-to-day basis, currently, some of the challenges that I deal with are scaling challenges. In this digital world, the amount of data that's getting generated by all the systems is only increasing, and that too at a very rapid rate. So getting creative and scaling the systems that we use to handle such data volume explosion is really hard, but it's also an interesting problem to solve. And yeah, keeping the cost in check and constantly looking for cost optimizations as the system grows is a huge challenge as well, because we don't want to be spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on these monitoring platforms. So keeping the cost in check is another challenge. And also just in general, keeping the system and the pipeline up and running and maintaining the SLOs that we have promised to our customers is a challenge in itself. And it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally imagine. And to your point about choosing the right technologies, I mean, sometimes it's more like, do you optimize for today or do you optimize for the future, right? Like, even in terms of the amount of scale you support and things like that. So, yeah, I'm sure it's a non-trivial problem to tackle.
Exactly. And also one more thing there is, let's say you have a strong knowledge on some database, whatever problem that comes your way, one natural tendency is to try to fit that database into the picture and just go with it, even if that particular technology is not the right choice for the problem in hand. So being really open-minded about it and looking for the other options that's out there and not trying to fit what you know to solve problem is also an important aspect.
Yeah, very true. I'm just remembering our conversation before we started the podcast about Legos. It feels so much like a Lego paradigm, where, like you have to find the right pieces to fit together.
Exactly. Yeah, completely agree.
So, are there any open source solutions or maybe trial software versions that people can kind of dabble with to get a hands-on experience and a flavor for data engineering?
Yeah, one of the amazing things about all these big data technologies is that most of them are open source. So you can just, download them and play around with them for free. That's something that I really love about these things. There's actually an amazing Kafka 101 video tutorials by Confluent. I'll probably share the link with you and you can
Absolutely.
share it with the listeners. I found that to be very useful when I wanted to, play around with Kafka. They explain in detail what Kafka is about, how to install it, how to use it, etc. And this is applicable to any other big data technology as well. Like if you just Google BigQuery 101 or Elasticsearch 101 or Apache Spark 101, I'm sure there would be tons of courses, online courses, where they talk about what it is about, how to set it up, how to do some basic hands-on work with that particular big data technology, etc. So just pick one or two of them and just give it a shot. It's well worth the time.
Awesome. I will definitely link in our show notes all of the information that you provided. Any advice for anybody who's contemplating a career in data engineering?
I would highly recommend data engineering to anyone. It's super fun and challenging. And I'm just going to repeat myself here. If you're someone who's totally new to the data engineering world, spend some time and develop a strong understanding of the distributed systems fundamentals. Take a few data engineering related 101 courses, and then pick one or two of these big data technologies that we spoke about earlier and just jump in and play with it, download it, set it up, try using it, and get a feel of it. Yeah, also, if you have any specific questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn and I'm happy to help anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Harini. This was a great conversation. Just as an FYI, Harini also runs the chapter on backend engineering in Women Who Code. So for anybody who wants to attend her sessions, I will link those as well in the show notes. Thanks again, Harini. This was a fantastic conversation.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed our episode, do subscribe to the podcast and check out our show notes, which provide more information on the topics discussed during the episode. Please follow us on LinkedIn at Through the Corporate Glass and on Twitter at Corporate Glass and share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. You can also check out our website, throughthecorporateglass.com.